Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Happy Tuesday, Nashville. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Usually a Tony Tuesday, but Nick Frazier is down in Key West. Apparently has turned into a stand-up comedian, so no Nick Frazier today. It'll just be us. We'll talk plenty of college football as the CFP rankings come out later tonight. We'll see how far Vandy rises after their win against Auburn. Both teams immediately ahead of them losing, so should slide up a few spots. And we'll also get into the Titans today as well. Darren Ambrose from Vanderbilt Soccer will join us at 10:30 as his team SEC champions and a one seed in the NCAA tournament. Parker, what's going on?
What's up, Jake? So I have a question for you, and just legitimate. If you were to do stand-up comedy, would you bomb?
Oh, for sure.
You'd bomb.
I believe in my ability to write jokes that I think would be kind of funny. Like, I think if you gave me enough time, I could write a set. I don't know if I could deliver it, right? Like, there is an art to the way you tell these jokes. And
at the timing.
Right, like the timing of it and the way you deliver the punchlines. I don't know if I have that in me. I feel like I would rush everything, you know, a little bit of that nervous energy. I hope there's a video. Apparently, Chase Big Joe and Nick Frazier all did stand-up in Key West last night. So I want a video of their sets to see how they went. But, yeah, I would not be good at stand-up comedy. Do you think you could do it?
So I think everybody bombs on their first time. I think I would bomb
right.
My first time. I think maybe I could get a couple laughs. But I think I'm going to bomb my first time. I would do it. Like, I don't think I would be too embarrassed. So,
yeah.
Because it is my first time. I would try it. I would definitely try it.
I would give it a try. I would probably need a little bit of, liquid confidence to get me going in there. But yeah, I would give it a shot. I don't think it would go over very well. But, yeah, Nick Frazier will be back on with us next Tuesday for his usual Tony Tuesday spot. The rest of the week, going to be great. Corey Curtis on Wednesday, Teron Davenport Thursday, and then we'll have Max Herz leading into Preds coverage from Sweden on Friday. So excited for the rest of the week. But today, just us again, and plenty to talk about. Last night, do want to give a shout-out, Vandy Women's Basketball improving to 2-0. It was a fun night over there. 96-48 the final score over Furman. Vandy took care of business. Six players in double figures, which is important. Depth has been, a question mark heading into this year. You got Michaela Blakes at the top. You got some other options, but could you get enough depth? Six players scored 10 or more last night. So nice win over Furman. Commodores back in action tomorrow night in Clarksville to take on Austin Peay. So I will do the show from here and then make my way up there to Clarksville at F&M Bank Arena to see the Doors take on the Govs. Last night, our big-time NFC clash on Monday Night Football didn't quite live up to the hype, you know?
It did if you were a defensive fan.
I guess that's true. If you're a fan of defensive football, sure, but no points in the first half was disappointing. I didn't get to watch much of the game because I was over there at Memorial Gym, but I tried to catch up as much as I could. It turned into Raiders and Broncos from Thursday night. I mean, 10-7 was the final in both of those games. It was an important win for the Eagles because now you have that tiebreaker on the Packers if it comes down to it at the end of the year. The Eagles did just enough to get the win. Jalen Hurts hooking up with Devontae Smith for the touchdown. Brandon McManus comes up short on a 64-yard field goal that could have tied the game at the end. But overall, not a super exciting game, but it could be important down the stretch. And you start to wonder with this Packers team, though, do they have the firepower to compete when they get to the playoffs? Because this isn't the first time that they've laid an egg offensively. You look back at the Browns game that they lost. I mean, Cleveland has only won two games, and they just lost to the Jets. They beat the Packers in Lambeau, right, early in the season?
Yeah.
And then they lost to the Panthers, too, who just lost to the one-win Saints. I know the transitive property isn't always the best way to view these teams, but the Packers have some bad losses on their resume, and they have times when that offense just completely, you know, goes into its shell. Matt LaFleur's got some things to figure out the rest of the way if they're going to find themselves deep into the playoffs. I did see a tweet yesterday that Matt LaFleur is coaching for his job the rest of the season.
Which is silly.
I don't see that. Like, the NFL, if you're putting your team in position to compete for a playoff spot every year, you're not going to get fired. At least not immediately. Like, this isn't like James Franklin at Penn State where it's like, oh, he can't get over the top. Like, it's the NFL. Matt LaFleur is going to get another chance. He's not going to get fired for making the playoffs. Right now, they're still leading the division, I believe. So
they fell out the seventh. So they get the last wild card.
Right.
The Bears jumped them.
That NFC North, going to be interesting the rest of the way. Yep. I mean, Chicago continuously finds themselves in bad situations, but finds a way to win down the stretch. So the Packers have some work to do, but I really don't see Matt LaFleur getting fired. We're going to go through in this first hour all of the jobs that could open up around the NFL, and I do not have the Packers as one of them. Matt LaFleur, I think, has proven himself enough over the last 5 to 6 years that one maybe underwhelming season offensively isn't going to be enough to end his time in Green Bay.
Yeah, no, maybe if you ask Robbie Stanley, you'd get a different answer, but I think Matt LaFleur is safe. There's no questioning.
Speaking
that.
Of Robbie Stanley, he just left and he texted me 100% coaching for his job. I don't believe that.
Like, see, I knew it.
I will say this: if they lose out or something like that, then maybe. But if they get into the playoffs or are a 10-win team, I don't see them firing the head coach.
They do have some things to get figured out because they're very hot and cold. Like,
right.
They were when they got Micah Parsons, everyone was like Super Bowl or bust for the Packers. But they've been so hot and cold, and it's that's got to get figured out.
Well, I mean, you look, they've got the Giants next week. Maybe the Giants get the interim coach bump. Brian Daboll fired yesterday. You've got three straight big division games. And maybe my tune will change on whether Matt LaFleur is coaching for his job based on what happens in weeks 12, 13, and 14. You play the Vikings next Sunday, not this upcoming Sunday, the one after. That is at Lambeau Field. Then you go to Detroit for a Thanksgiving game. Then you play Chicago at home.
That'll be good.
Like, those three games, yes, if the Packers go 0-3 and fall out of playoff contention, then maybe you start to have that conversation. But the way Matt LaFleur has led this team, they've gone to the NFC Championship game. They're consistently in the playoff conversation. I don't see them firing him. But
I don't either. Don't see it.
The schedule is a little bit tough. You've got the Bears twice. You've got the Vikings twice, which divisional games, you never know. And then you've also got the Broncos and Ravens, who are both going to be playing for playoff spots in the AFC. Robbie has expanded on why he thinks Matt LaFleur is coaching for his job. And this is an important point, I guess. He says that he doesn't have a contract extension beyond next year. They'll either extend him after this year or he's fired. Will not be lame duck. If they don't win in the playoffs, he will be fired. They've been in the playoffs and a 10-win team. It's not good enough. I'm telling you, firing him is on the table. All right, well,
okay.
I will take our resident Packers fan and his word for it. We also have Chip from Mount Juliet on the text line who says he's a Packer fan. He says, we are sick of LaFleur. LaFleur chokes in big games and playoffs. Don't need that. And
we also have a Packers fan back here who's saying the same thing. So maybe we don't have as good a read on the situation.
I guess that's true. Maybe this is the situation of like when the national media and casual NFL fans were like, why were the Titans firing Mike Vrabel? And all Titans fans are like, because he's sucked the last 2 years. And I guess unless you're on the inside, maybe you don't know. But from the outside, I didn't see it. But I don't get it. Brandon Hermitage also says a lifelong Packer fan. Man, all the Packers fans chiming in.
Okay,
this
we were
morning.
Just wrong. We were wrong.
He says
I guess
the
Matt
Packers
LaFleur is coaching for his job this year.
Okay. if the Packers fans are saying this, then I guess that's the sentiment up in Green Bay too. So I wouldn't fire him, but I guess I don't have the inside knowledge of most of these Packers fans who basically are all saying that LaFleur needs to go. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. So maybe I need to adjust these next couple segments because we're going to talk about all of the jobs that could open up around the NFL and where the Titans might stack up, because that is important. There's always a finite number of good head coaching candidates who are out there on the market. You're not always going to be able to find a great coach out there. That's why there are so many one-and-done guys in the NFL. So, what jobs could open up? We saw another one officially open up yesterday as the Giants fired Brian Daboll. How do the Titans stack up against the Giants and some other possible teams? I've got seven other ones that I'm looking at. And I guess I should add an eighth because Packers fans are done with Matt LaFleur. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We are off and running on this Tuesday morning. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday. Talking about the game last night, Eagles and Packers, and mentioned that I saw Matt LaFleur coaching for his job was a headline after last night's loss for Green Bay. And I thought that was crazy, but Robbie Stanley, our resident Packers fan here at 1025, and pretty much everybody on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, is a Packers fan as well. And they all say that LaFleur should be gone. 1165 says, hey, another Packer fan here. Yeah, he either gives up play calling or he gets fired. We got 2765 says, give me LaFleur. And we're going to get into all the possible openings. But if the Packers did fire LaFleur, would that be somebody you'd be interested in bringing in for the Titans?
So I'm thinking about this right now, actually. And they're talking about it on First Take. What's wrong with the Packers offense?
Right.
And I'm thinking about it because Jordan Love's a really good quarterback. Josh Jacobs is in his prime. You have a superstar tight end. They do receiver by committee. They don't have that superstar receiver, but that can work because the Bills do it. But you just got to have the right play caller to do it.
Right.
And I know also they've had issues with their offensive line, the injuries and stuff. And they finally had everybody healthy last night, but then they lost their center, Elkton Jenkins, or however you say his first name. And then I think they lost somebody else too. But I guess that does, at the end of the day, reflect on the play caller because the defense has been solid under Hafley.
Hafley might end up being a head coach somewhere after this year, former Boston College head coach.
When you have the collective talent, but you don't get the output, that does reflect on the coaching. Now that I think about it, so I just had to kind of voice my thoughts.
Well, it's just like, I think it is the same thing as when Vrabel got fired in Tennessee. The people on the outside don't see everything that's going on. They just know the reputation of the head coach, which for Vrabel, the reputation was, oh, he was the head coach of the year 2 years ago, and he was able to be the one seed with the most players on IR in NFL history, like all that stuff. That's what people remember about Vrabel, and they didn't remember, oh, he went 6-18 his last 24 games with the Titans. Like, that's what all of us saw watching it up close. So I understand Packers fans' frustration that maybe I haven't seen. Brandon Hermitage says, what's Matt's winning percentage? Matt isn't the problem. That's kind of my point, is the grass isn't always greener. We've learned that here in Nashville. You got rid of Vrabel, and we all kind of understood it at the time, but now hindsight's 20/20. It's like, man, you can't always find an upgrade even when you decide to move on from a guy who was struggling towards the end of his tenure here.
That was the issue with the James Franklin firing for me, because
Okay,
you fire him, but he was the in terms of active head coaches, he was fifth in wins.
Right.
Who are you going to go out and get? I understand the expectation this year was national championship, and clearly after the Oregon loss, things went off the rails. But next year, Penn State doesn't have the recruits coming in. The team is going to take a step back regardless next year with or without Franklin. So they're already not going to be in a good position. Who are you going to go out and get that's been better than what Franklin has been?
Right. For Penn State, the issue was, oh, he can't win the big game. Well, can you get to the big game with somebody else? That's the question. And their first two candidates that were being tossed around, Kurt Cignetti, Matt Rhule, both have signed extensions. So you wonder where Penn State's going to go. I think the Packers might be in a similar situation if you get rid of Matt LaFleur. I wouldn't hate that if the Titans entertained bringing him back. Now, would he want to come back? He was only here for 1 year. It was not a great situation. That was the year that Marcus had the nerve damage in his arm and barely could throw the football. So I don't know if it would end up working out, but Matt LaFleur getting fired, yes, it adds another opening to compete with you for head coaching candidates, but it also adds a guy who's a proven head coach who has developed quarterbacks before. I'd be interested to see if the Titans kick the tires on LaFleur if he does get let go from Green Bay. Brian Daboll was fired yesterday, And I think it's a little surprising considering that they pretty much let him pick the quarterback. I don't know if you have seen the clip that's circulating around social media, Parker, of when they were making the decision to trade up and draft Jackson Dart. And Joe Shane is kind of talking through it. And he's going, you love him. You went through the process to Brian Daboll. You're convicted in him. So basically saying like, hey, this is Daboll's guy. And now you fire him 10 games into his rookie season. I get it. He's been bad. And Daboll has not lived up to the expectations you had when you brought him over from Buffalo. But it's strange timing. And the Giants did stand behind Joe Shane yesterday, which surprised me as well. They said that he's built a solid young nucleus of talent and that he's going to stick around despite, you know, the pie in the face that he got on Hard Knocks last year. So the Giants, it's a strange situation right now. And I think when you stack up the Titans and Giants jobs, there's a lot of different factors to it. I think if you look at ownership, for sure, the Giants have a more stable ownership group with the Mara family. And I do wonder, though, do you want to go into that situation with Joe Shane, who, even though they stood behind him now, I would say he is a couple bad decisions away from probably getting the axe as well.
It's mind-boggling that he's even been able to stick around this long, because if you watch the Hard Knocks offseason, I mean, the dude's a complete dope. And Ian Rappaport put out yesterday that he's leading the search for the next head coach. And I'm like, if Brian Daboll's getting the axe, he should be getting the axe too.
Right. Because it should have been a package deal.
Yeah. And that dude is incompetent. Like, all you got to do is watch the offseason Hard Knocks, and he's not likable.
I do not understand how they both made it through last offseason. How either of them made it through last offseason. But the timing is weird to fire Daboll midseason and keep Joe Shane and stand behind Joe Shane to pick the next head coach. It's a little bit strange.
I was shocked he kept his job after last season.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the Giants, I will say the ownership has been more stable, but there is some decisions that don't make a whole lot of sense coming from East Rutherford right now. The quarterback situation is probably the most important, right? Like, if you're going to bring in the next head coach, it's got to be somebody who believes in your young quarterback, whether it's the Titans or the Giants. So that could end up being a factor as you interview these coaches, is do they like Ward or Dart better? I think, in general, the consensus around the NFL has been that Ward was the better prospect coming out, obviously, based on the place that they were drafted. But you may see some coaches out there who like the way Dart is played better. You know, he's more mobile. And I don't know. That's going to be something that plays out in the offseason as we go through these interviews of the Giants and Titans are in very similar situations with a rookie quarterback trying to find somebody who can develop them this year. And I don't know if the Titans are going to be the more attractive job there. The roster definitely favors the Giants. They've got talent on the defense with Abdul Carter and Brian Burns on the outside. You know, Kayvon Thibodeau, I don't know how long he sticks around, but he's a high draft pick on the edge, so you've got talent there. The Titans have almost no talent on the outside. On the offensive side, Malik Nabers for the Giants will be coming back from injury. So it's a very interesting situation as you stack up these two jobs between the Titans and Giants and which one might be more attractive. We've got a caller on our text line, on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kevin from Memphis wants to chime in on the Packers' next head coach. Kevin, what you got for us?
Yes, how about trying to bring Mike McCarthy back and let him run the show?
Oh, you think the Packers should bring McCarthy back?
Yes.
That's it. That is very interesting.
Let's defer to Robbie on that one, yeah, see what he says.
Robbie, if you're still listening, let us know. You want to bring Mike McCarthy back? Thank you for the call, Kevin. Maybe that's something they would entertain. I doubt it. I would think they'd go a different direction. Heck, maybe even they promote from within if they fire LaFleur. Maybe they like the way that Jeff Hafley carries himself, and you could keep a little bit of stability in that locker room. He's going to get interviews elsewhere. Maybe that's a plan that they go with. I don't know if they would bring back Mike McCarthy. That's a very interesting point from Kevin from Memphis. There are a lot of jobs that could open up around the NFL. Right now, there are only two, and I think it would be a question of preference. It's like asking a flavor, because I think the Titans and Giants jobs are similar in terms of rosters, probably a little while away. The Giants is probably a little bit closer, and you've got young quarterbacks. You've just got to choose. But I have seven other jobs, and we'll add an eighth because the Packers fans want LaFleur gone. So we'll go through those next. But first, let's go back to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dustin from Hopkinsville has a thought on the Packers head coach. Dustin, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Morning, guys. All I got to do is say, please do that. Please. Hey, Robbie, I respect you, dude. I like you. Great guy. Man, you Packers fans are too biased to even put in your opinion on this. You're 5-3. I don't even watch the game. 5-3, guys. Like, but we're stars here in Tennessee, and I've got a zero IQ football IQ here, so I'm going to put in my 2 cents. Malik Willis, we could not develop him, and then Green Bay picks him up, plays us the next week, and comes and beats us and makes him look like one of the best backups. And that he could be developed maybe into a starting quarterback on some team. Please, fire LaFleur. And I want to say this lightly, because if we say, oh, he's great, maybe they'll hear us and not do it. But that's your head coach with a winning record who can develop quarterbacks. Please do it. He will be number one on my list.
I think that's a good point, Dustin, and I think that there would be plenty of teams that would interview Matt LaFleur if he got let go. Like, I really do. I think he would become one of the most popular
Titans
coaches on the market.
Titans fans would love Matt LaFleur to come back and be the head coach.
I'm
doing my rain dance for him.
Thank you for the call, Dustin.
I hope y'all lose next week to the Giants. If y'all think Dayball was done firing, y'all, you ain't seen nothing yet if they fire LaFleur.
Well, I think if the Giants beat the Packers, then firing LaFleur becomes all that much more likely. But
let's pray for it. Let's pray the let's play them Giants beat them. That interim bump just comes in, and Jackson Dart goes out and throws for 350, and let's do it. 4 touchdowns. Come on.
Thanks for the call, Dustin. Yeah, I think LaFleur would be a very popular coach on the market, and it's definitely giving parallels to Mike Vrabel. And we got Derek from Nolansville saying Vrabel finished 6-18 with a starting quarterback injured in a multitude of injuries. We fired a top-tier coach. And I think, yeah, everybody looking back would say it was the wrong decision to fire Mike Vrabel. You see what he's doing in New England and see what's happened since. You could not find an upgrade from Mike Vrabel. But in the moment, his shtick was getting a little bit old, and he had lost 18 of 24 games, including blowing the division lead at the end of the 2022 season. I know that the John Robinson firing in the middle of that threw a wrench into a lot of things, but you lost 7 straight to blow the division in 2022 and then went 6-11 the next year. Hindsight, yeah, you shouldn't have fired him, but in the moment, I think Titans fans were pretty much ready for Vrabel to be gone. That seems to be the feeling with Matt LaFleur, and maybe another team gets lucky and can hire him away. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get to some of your texts on the other side. We'll also go through other possible openings. We've learned that Green Bay is going to be wide open. Packers fans want Matt LaFleur gone. But I've got 7 other jobs that could open up. You'd like as little as possible to limit the competition for the Titans on the head coaching market. We'll talk about it next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly alongside you, going around the NFL head coaching carousel right now. Titans fired Brian Callahan 3 weeks ago, somewhere in there. Brian Daboll let go yesterday by the New York Giants, and the Packers fans are firing Matt LaFleur right now. We'll see if the team decides to follow suit at some point. News in the NBA, though, before we get back into that. Nico Harrison, Mavericks GM, gone. Less than a year after making the trade heard around the world, sending Luka Doncic to the LA Lakers. And maybe the most predictable thing that you've ever seen. You know, you trade away your star player for way less than you should get for a guy of that caliber. And yeah, he got lucky, won the draft lottery, and got Cooper Flagg, but it's been a slow start to the year for Dallas, and he is gone.
Don't think Mavericks fans are upset about that. After he made that trade, yeah, good riddance.
The good news is that the Mavericks security in their arena will not have to escort people with Fire Nico signs out of the building anymore. So, man, that trade looks worse and worse as the months go by, and he had to go. I mean, look at the Desmond Bane trade that happened this offseason, where he got sent to the Magic for like 5 unprotected first round picks or something like that. And all you got for Luka, like, Anthony Davis is a good player, but he's on the backside of his career, and he got 1 first round pick. Crazy. Crazy stuff, and Nico Harrison being held accountable this morning. Back to the NFL. Brian Daboll was let go yesterday, and I thought Alex made a good point on our text line here that I wonder if Daboll's concussion protocol issues may have factored into this. Alex says Daboll circumvented concussion protocol twice on their young quarterback. That alone is borderline fireable. And I do wonder if that was part of it, of, hey, you got a young quarterback. He's already been in concussion protocol a couple of times. You tried to get around it. You got fined for it. And then on Sunday, he gets knocked around again and has to leave a game. It's not what you want. We've seen what the concussions have done to players around the league. Tua Tagovailoa is the big example. And Brian Daboll has certainly put Jackson Dart in harm's way and tried to get him out of the blue tent while he was in concussion protocol.
When he exited the game on Sunday and they said that he was in concussion protocol, it's not funny, but like, it is just kind of crazy how many times Jackson Dart has been in concussion protocol. And then my mind went back to that Thursday night game where he went into the medical tent, Jackson Dart did, and Brian Daboll's yelling at the doctors to get him back out on the field. Russell Wilson comes in for a play. The fans are booing him. My mind immediately went to that. But also part of it, too, is, yeah, Jackson Dart did get better at sliding versus Chicago because he slid 3-4 times.
Yeah.
But, man, like, all the head bumping with, like, Cam Scataboo when they don't have helmets on, like, all that's got to stop.
Yeah.
That's got to stop.
I would say that now that you have a couple of concussions on your record here in your rookie year, no more head bumping with Cam Scataboo. I wouldn't want to head bump Cam Scataboo if I had 3 helmets on. That dude's a monster. So, yeah, Jackson Dart in concussion protocol. We'll see if he's able to play on Sunday against the Packers. Speaking of the Packers, we've got more thoughts on Matt LaFleur. Chip from Mount Juliet, who is a Packer fan, he says, what do the fans and teams want? Super Bowls or good regular season records? Ask any player what they want. It's clearly Super Bowl wins. And Chip, I understand what you're saying, but again, the grass isn't always greener. Look at the Titans right now. You were close. You were in the playoffs almost every year. You had won the division back-to-back seasons. And then you had a couple of years where you started to slip back and you fired Mike Vrabel. And look where you are now. You are by far the worst team in the NFL. It's been 3 years since you won back-to-back games. Like, the grass isn't always greener. Yeah, Matt LaFleur right now maybe isn't the guy to win you a Super Bowl, but who knows what the next guy's going to be. So,
This has turned into a Packers show today, here's what I'll say about Matt LaFleur. Have the Packers lived up to expectations this year? Absolutely not. But if you're going to fire him, if this is truly a hot seat year for him, you have to have a surefire candidate in mind that is going to be better.
You have to know who you're going to get and that they're going to be better. The Titans.
And make sure that's actually attainable, which I'm sure it would be because the Packers are a historic franchise, one of the probably the best market in the NFL.
Right.
So
I don't think that they would clearly become the most desirable job on the market if they let go of Matt LaFleur. That's a team that you can take over and immediately be in the playoff chase. But again, it's always a risk when you fire a head coach who's getting you to the playoffs every year because you just don't know what's on the other side. Matthew in Nashville, a resident Steelers fan on the text line, says, don't take LaFleur, go for Mike Tomlin. Then you too can be the 9-8 Super Bowl champs, go for 9 years without a playoff win, and have the most predictable defense of all time. Not joking, if you take Mike, I will personally drive him to the Pittsburgh airport. again, it's not always – the grass isn't always green.
Man, all right, so we have Steelers fans calling for Mike Tomlin's job now.
We've got all these fans of teams that are consistently decent.
This is not what I expected the show to be today.
I would take 9-8 a million times.
Oh, right now, 9-8 looks wonderful.
Over what? I mean, we might be like 4-30.
1-15.
Over a
two-year
span.
Maybe 2-14.
Yeah, give me 9-8. I did want to get to possible jobs that are going to open up, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Parker, because I went through this yesterday, and here's what I came up with. And apparently, Green Bay should be on here too. But I have two jobs that I think are almost for sure going to open up. The Miami Dolphins, they did beat the Bills this weekend, but I don't see them giving Mike McDaniel another year. And the Arizona Cardinals. Does that feel safe? I think Gannon, his shtick has kind of run its course a little bit. They haven't looked good. They've had some bad, bad losses. I think those two jobs are the most likely to open up.
No, I think that's fair. I think they're both dead men walking. Yeah, I absolutely agree, 100%.
Then I have five under the possibly open tag. Two of them I don't think are going to open up because it's 1 year, and that's the Jets and Saints. Like, yeah, they're going to be bad, but I don't know.
I think they all like Aaron Glenn.
Right. I don't know if you fire Aaron Glenn, former player for the Jets.
I think they trust him to get it right now that they've acquired all these first-round draft picks.
Right. I think Glenn gets another year. And then the Saints with Kellen Moore.
They weren't going to win anyway.
I think they're going to let Kellen Moore pick his own quarterback.
Yeah, there was no way they were going to win anyway with that roster.
They set that roster up for failure, having Spencer Rattler and Tyler Shuck be your options at quarterback. So I think they both stay, but you lose enough games, there's always a chance you get fired. The other three, I think, are all really interesting. The Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow, his practice window opened up again yesterday, and Zach Taylor has to be hoping and praying right now that Joe Shiesty is going to save his job again, because right now, I don't see a whole lot of reason to keep Zach Taylor around. I think his "I went to the Super Bowl" leash is starting to run out, and I wouldn't be surprised if they move on from him. Cleveland, kind of in a similar situation.
Those are the two I was looking at.
To the Titans.
Stefanski. I think Stefanski is a great head coach. I just don't think they've had good ownership, management, roster. They got screwed by the Deshaun Watson contract, and there's not really a lot of coming back from that.
I think it's a similar, like, Titans and Vrabel situation of, like, you have a guy who's proven he can be a head coach, but the results just haven't been there. Stefanski could be gone.
I'd take Stefanski in a heartbeat,
I would
by
take
the way.
Him, too. I think Stefanski, if he comes open, is going to have a lot of interviews. And then the Atlanta Falcons. Raheem Morris, there are times when he looks really good. Like, he beat the Bills this year. The Falcons almost beat the Colts on Sunday. But they've also gotten blown out by the Dolphins and the Panthers this year. And I don't know. Arthur Blank, I don't think he's going to be all that patient, especially with Michael Penix going into year three. I wouldn't be surprised if that job opens up.
I wouldn't be surprised either, because they're another one of those. The roster is way too talented for them to be below 500 right now.
So
because they look so good. They beat the Bills on Monday night, and then they go lose unexplicably to the Panthers.
Right.
They
lost 30-0 to the Panthers.
What team are you?
Right.
Are you good? Are you bad?
They are the full-on Jekyll and Hyde in the NFL, beating the Bills, going to overtime with the Colts, but then losing by 25-plus against the Dolphins and Panthers. There's still time for Raheem Morris to save his job, but I would put him on the hot seat right now. So that's seven jobs, and again, I guess we're throwing Green Bay in there too.
I have one more question, Mark.
You got one?
Brian Schottenheimer with the Cowboys.
That's an interesting
here's,
one.
Here's why I say this. I wouldn't fire him after this year, but here's why I say that. Because Jerry Jones' press conference, when they hired him, he was talking about this is the biggest risk you could take, and knowing – I have a feeling, knowing Jerry Jones, that he would probably, if the results continue to trend in a downward direction, that he wouldn't be afraid to pull the trigger.
Dallas is always a job that you wonder if they're going to do something crazy. So I think that's a good point, too. So if you put all of them together,
it's one of those wild card question marks.
Right. And not all of those jobs are going to open up. I would argue that you're probably looking at six maximum openings this year. You've got two already. I think Miami and Arizona are going to open up. And then I think two of those other seven that we mentioned, Atlanta, the Jets, the Bengals, the Browns, the Saints, the Packers, and the Cowboys. I would say two of those open up, which leaves some competition for the Titans. Let's talk about how the Titans might stack up and something to factor in when it comes to whether coaches might want to take the Titans' job. We'll get to that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, finishing up hour number one. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. Looking around the NFL head coaching carousel, two jobs now open. Right here in Nashville, Brian Callahan fired, and Brian Daboll let go by the Giants yesterday. We went through and we found nine other jobs that we believe could open up. Obviously, you're not going to see 11 head coaching openings in the NFL. That almost never happens. But I think 5-6 is probably safe, and the Titans will have some competition when they interview these head coaching candidates. So something that I think is going to be important is Cam Ward. Going to be one of the biggest selling points for the Titans, but you also have to find somebody who truly believes in Cam Ward, right? Brian Callahan came in and said all he could about Will Levis. We don't know if it was true, whether he believed in Will Levis or not. Clearly, it didn't work out with Will Levis. You need somebody to come in here who believes Cam Ward can be a franchise quarterback and has a plan to develop him. But coaches are prone to want their own guy, right? Like, you always hear that with these head coaches, especially offensive head coaches, of they come in, they have a quarterback that they kind of inherit. It's an arranged marriage with a young quarterback. And if they fail, usually it's the most recent addition who gets to stay. So it would be the coach. And then you hear, oh, he's going to get a chance to get his guy in here. You got to find somebody who doesn't think that way. I think that's why an experienced coach like a Mike McCarthy might make sense, because I don't think he would think that way. I think it would be a younger coach like a Joe Brady who might come in and it's like, oh, well, he's a first-time head coach and he didn't even have his guy at quarterback, who may end up using that as an excuse. But you also look at a lot of those jobs that could open up, and a lot of them will be in the quarterback market this year in the draft. Miami, Arizona, New York, the Jets, that is, Cleveland, New Orleans, I think are all going to be looking to draft a quarterback. The question is, what's more attractive to these coaching candidates? Cam Ward, a guy who has already gone through some of the rookie struggles, and you can see what he needs to improve on, or the mystery box of, oh, if I take this job with the Saints, I can go and pick a guy who I can mold from scratch as this ball of clay coming out of the draft?
That was the problem with, if you were going to pull the trigger on Brian Callahan last year, you probably should have done it if you knew that he was probably going to get fired this year, because alignment. Alignment is the big word, because you want a GM who's in alignment with your head coach. And when you have this constant hiring, firing cycle where you fire a GM and then you keep the head coach, then you fire the head coach, keep the GM, then fire the it's too much chaos. You want to have a head coach and a general manager that are in alignment with each other, that pick their players, develop them, and eventually they turn into stars. That's why we've seen teams like the Eagles and the Lions have success over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So it's going to kind of have to be like a Liam Cohen situation, where he chose to coach Trevor Lawrence. He chose to help him get to his potential. And kind of some of these other situations with the Bucs, it's a little bit different because you have offensive coordinators that have worked with Baker Mayfield. So you're going to need a guy that chooses to coach Cam Ward rather than the other way around.
Yeah, and alignment is going to be key. And I think in the minds of ownership, and this may be easier said than done, in the minds of ownership and Amy Adams Strunk, you need everybody on the same timeline right now. When you make this next head coach, you hire the next head coach, you need Mike Borgonzi, the head coach, and Cam Ward to all be on the same timeline, and it can't just be the finger-pointing game of, all right, well, after next year, I guess it's Cam's fault. Then after that, well, Borgonzi drafted Cam, do we give him another chance? Borgonzi's out. Then it's the head coach, well, he's had chances with two quarterbacks, is he gone? You need them all in alignment. And it's got to be Borgonzi, who drafted Ward, the head coach who agrees to coach Ward and wants to develop him, and Cam Ward, and you look at those three as a unit. If one of them fails, they all fail, and you start over from scratch. But it has to be in alignment and on the same timeline for all three of these guys. Because if you don't have that, it's going to continue to be this rotating door of, all right, this guy's out. Now you're the one we believe in. Oh, well, you failed this year. You're out. Let's bring in somebody else. You can't keep having that. Lenny on the text line. I love these texts. Rookie struggles for Cam. Are you kidding me? He's finished.
Finished?
Finished.
He's done. He goes. He's terrible.
He has more interceptions than he has touchdowns. Lenny, how long have you been watching the NFL? Like, it's been 9 games. I don't understand the microwave view here from Titans fans of, like, we want to draft this quarterback and he has to be immediately this star. Like, it takes time sometimes. Yes, it hasn't been great, but it's been 9 games. He's had the bye week. Let's see what he does after the bye week. And then guess what? He's going to get all of next year too.
The Peyton Manning example, that's all I'm going to say.
Well, and
the Peyton Manning example.
It is so funny. I saw a tweet yesterday of, like, you know, a quarterback's in trouble when people start pulling out the Peyton Manning and Josh Allen rookie year stats. And, like, it's a good point of, like, that is something that everybody wants to bring up. You want to bring up the outliers. But it's not just those guys. There are plenty of examples of quarterbacks who aren't the best in their rookie season.
Sam Darnold.
Look at Drake May.
Baker Mayfield.
Drake May, his stats looked better than Cam's last year.
Caleb Williams last year to this year.
Lenny says kaput. Okay, Lenny, you give up on Cam. See how that works out for you. Why do these Titans fans want the young quarterback to be finished? I don't get that. Root for your team.
There is such a small, loud minority of this fan base that is just out of their minds, can't reason with them. It unbelievable.
It is funny because, like, I remember when Marcus Mariota got drafted. It was unified. Titans fans would go to war with anyone who said Marcus Mariota wasn't the guy, and go to war with anyone saying that Jameis Winston was better than Marcus Mariota. Back up Cam Ward. Yes, he struggled, but it is year one. You've already fired his head coach. There's clearly not a lot of talent around him. He's going to get more than just 9 games to prove he's the guy. Skyler says Titans fans didn't want Cam Ward. Everybody wanted to trade down. Skyler, I don't know.
Are you kidding me?
Skyler, like, everybody is a very gross overestimation there. I would say 70% of the fan base wanted Cam Ward.
Everybody implies 100%. That's not true.
I would say a majority of the fan base wanted Cam Ward. And I wouldn't say it was close. I'm not saying it's 51. I would say 70% of the fan base wanted Cam Ward, but the loud 30% that wanted to trade down are now taking victory laps 9 games in.
Hey, I don't want to hear from these fans if Cam Ward happens to be good one day. I don't want to hear from these fans. I don't want them jumping back on the bandwagon. You stick with it through thick or thin. If it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But 9 games in, let's not start labeling somebody a bust, which is a career-defining term, by the way.
Yeah.
And this guy's played half of a rookie season?
Jaden Daniels and C.J. Stroud have ruined...
Ruined.
Ruined the NFL fans.
People can't reason anymore.
It's like quarterbacks have always struggled as rookies, but you have 2 examples from the last 2 years of guys coming in and immediately becoming what you thought were top 5 quarterbacks right off the bat, and now nobody can develop anymore. There's no such thing as a guy getting better. Speaking of fans who don't want Cam Ward, let's go to Trey on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com.
That was
Trey,
a great tie-in.
Thanks
right
for
there.
Calling. What you got?
Good morning, guys. Hey, I wanted to say that, you know, I don't think that the Titans know how to win. I don't think the person that they hire, you know, the person that they hire is going to have at least a 65% win percentage and bring that winning culture into the Titans. Right now, I feel like they don't have an identity. Cam Ward doesn't have an identity. None of that over there is good. So whoever comes in is going to have to deal with all of that. And can Cam Ward learn from a different coach? I don't know. He's had 5 of them in his career in college, in high school, and he still, and this is his product. You know, I'm just saying, I'm gonna give him a chance, but it's not looking good. And I love y'all. Jake, you're doing a great job, buddy. You take care, okay?
Thanks for the call, Trey. Hey, Trey saying he's going to give Cam a chance. I like hearing that.
I always love the encouragement at the end of the phone call. Jake, you're doing a great job. Keep it up.
New York Doug, our good friend on the text line, says, job opening. Sports radio hosts in Nashville must have ability to remove Cam Ward blinders. It's not removing Cam Ward
New York
blinders.
Doug.
We are perfectly capable of looking and saying that Cam Ward has not been good enough.
Have we not
through
been?
His first
we've been critical of Cam Ward.
We are critical.
At times.
And every week when we talk with TD, when we talk with Corey, we talk about the things that Cam Ward needs to get better at. But there is the ability for quarterbacks to get better after their first 9 games.
I love that the reasonable logic keeps flooding into the YouTube and text chat. It's wonderful.
It is so funny. The Cam Ward haters are out and plentiful on this Tuesday morning. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get to your phones. We'll also talk some college football on the other side. The new CFP rankings are coming out tonight. Where will Vandy be? And what does the top look like after a week of close calls? We'll get to those coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game.